Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio today to tell us about the making of Lewis Capaldi. How are you doing? Of course, before you go there.
Yeah, it's he is someone who I've come to a little bit late. And I know he's not been around that long, but actually, so it's six or seven years now.
Right.
He's actually been.
I thought it would have been longer than that. Well,
we see the world ended for a while there, didn't it?
That's very true, actually. And
actually, that kind of leads into his story a bit and the genesis of what happens to him and all of that. But he's a fascinating artist, and one of the reasons I've chosen him at the moment is because he's. Well, he's been in Ireland, he's been doing gigs, and he's also been announced as the headline act
for Electric Picnic. Yeah, and he's just finished two nights at Marley Park.
I think he's also doing Belfast
in August
as well. So he's, and in fairness, if we return to the origin of Lewis, he is a man with Irish roots. He's from Glasgow originally in Scotland. His family moved in Scotland a little bit to West Lothian when he was about four. But he is an avid Glasgow Celtic fan, and he's dyed-in-the-wool Glasgow chap, really.
Yeah. How did he go from social media kind of star to where he is now?
Yeah, I mean, he's... First of all, in his family, he's known as the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
Because there's a wee gap between him and his siblings,
yeah.
And his father had had a certain procedure,
right.
Which was meant to prevent the further procurement of children. But he came... into the scene very young. He's a teenager when he's basically sneaking into pubs and clubs, and he's writing his own songs, and he's trying to get himself out there. He's helped in this endeavor by his older brother Walter, and of course the social media thing you mention is huge. And in fairness, it's a whole other way that artists have managed to achieve recognition now.
Yeah.
And he put a song on SoundCloud, and which he recorded in his bedroom, and his now manager somehow managed to hear it, contacted him, flew from New York
to meet him.
Let's do it. And they start really kind of working the whole YouTube thing and that. And he is someone who's very conscious of his social media presence.
Mm.
And what I find interesting about Lewis Capaldi is that his songs are quite melancholy and sad, but he is a very jovial social media presence.
You'd keep my head from going under. Maybe I'm just being blinded by the...
That's Bruises.
Bruises, yes,
yeah.
There it is.
It's a beautiful voice.
It's beautiful, and it's his first single. It's the first time he released it, and it was released independently. And I think we should probably get into this because, you know, it's the voice, isn't it?
Mm.
With the best will in the world, I think Lewis, in his own self-deprecational way of describing himself, is not Beyonce. He doesn't fit that mold,
yeah.
Does he? And that's something that gives me great hope, because when I was growing up, people who looked like ordinary human beings could be megastars.
Yeah.
Phil Collins was a megastar. Elton John, despite the big wigs underneath it all, looked like, you know, a piano teacher or a librarian or something like that. I looked like a librarian. But it gives me, maybe that's why it resonates with me, is that idea that the music industry sometimes, and the entertainment industry, is sometimes being described as incredibly shallow, and it's all about the look and you have to look perfect. Lewis Capaldi doesn't look perfect. He looks like a bloke that you might meet
just kind of your neighbour next door.
But it's the voice,
and that is what has made him kind of stand out, isn't it?
Yeah,
in the crowd,
he has. I mean, as I often say about music, when I listen to an artist, one of the first questions I ask myself is, "Do I believe you?" And you know, if I'm looking for authenticity and the sincerity of the voice. And with Lewis Capaldi, it comes through.
Yeah.
Every note, every word seems to come from a very real place.
So how successful has he been?
It's incredible, because he has, you know, he has burst onto the scene, social media, multi streams, all of that. like, if you go onto Spotify or Apple Music, whichever one you use, and you look at the amount of times this man's songs have been played, like, when I think of great legends, and if you look at songs that I love and that, and they've been played 100,000 times, 200, maybe a million, we're into the billions here, like billions of streams. And he fairly quickly got also recognition on the other side of the Atlantic as well. But in the early part of his career, he's very much helped out. I use that term lightly, but a lot of Irish bands and Irish artists actually invited him to open for them. People like Picture This, Codaline, Niall Horan, he's open for as well. So, you know, there's definitely a Celtic root here.
Yeah,
you know,
and a nice connection with the Irish.
Forget me. Yes, indeed. This is a huge hit. It was released in September 2022 and it debuts at number one.
It's probably my favourite of his songs.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I have chosen for our closing song today what I think is a masterpiece of a song, and nobody, well, with 4 billion streams on Spotify, I don't think anyone's not going to recognise it. But this is a massive hit too. And when we're doing this, we sometimes look at maybe one particular album. Lewis only has two, but he's also released a number of kind of short play singles and smaller EPs and things like that. So it was better to look at it as a career, because he's not going that far back, but yet he seems to achieve such recognition, and not without his problems.
The songs you picked, Before You Go, Bruises, Forget Me, are they from the one album?
No, they're from
his most successful stuff.
Exactly.
Which,
yeah.
So sorry, and Forget Me obviously is one of the more successful songs.
I think just off the top of my head, I think it's the second most successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
The most successful will come to
in the UK course. Or where
everywhere.
Is he? Everywhere.
Everywhere. He is. I mean, he's obviously doing Electric Picnic here, but he's also a huge fan. He's a huge draw at the big festivals. So he's certainly done like Glastonbury. Mm. He's also done the big festivals in the US and that. He's a man who is universally loved.
And it's funny because the guy, like, you know, he's a pop artist, really, isn't he? Like, and.
If we're going to put him into a genre, let's call it blue-eyed soul.
But it's like the pop arena is pretty crowded as well. Like, it's a hard area to crack through.
That's what gives me such encouragement with a guy like Lewis, because as I said, sometimes it is the prettiest and it is the best looking or the best presented. You know, there's a packaging, there's a marketing that I suppose you can easily become cynical about. But with Lewis, it's what you see is what you get.
He's also been very open about his anxiety and Tourette's. And Glastonbury, was it about 3 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, yeah. The stage. Glastonbury concert, and the video is out there for anyone who wants to watch it. He has just come out and told the world about his diagnosis for Tourette's at this point. And he actually, in the act of telling people at Glastonbury that he had, it kind of brought on an attack. And it was, as he was about to sing, big song. And it's easy to be cynical sometimes, but when you see this video, he can't sing. He doesn't have the physical
ability.
He's totally
overcome, yeah.
And what happens? The crowd does it for
him. Yeah, it was an amazing moment, like... It's fantastic.
It did bring a tear to a glass eye, Andrea. It was just gorgeous. And he's been so open about it. And, you know, the world needs heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And people who, you know, don't fit the paradigm of beauty and success. And yet he stands up and a huge inspiration.
Oh, but instead I only wish you the best.
That is Wish You the Best. This is from his second album. So the second album is called Broken by Desire to Be Heavenly Sent. He actually has great titles for his albums. And once again, debuts at number one. Again, massive, massive hit, streaming, everything like that. He also released a CD single for this, which is rather a novelty these days. But it actually sold massively. In fact, you know, despite his well-documented troubles, he is the man that everything he touches seems to be completely supported by his fan base. And it was a huge, huge hit.
He played two nights at Marley Park recently, manages to span quite a few age demographics, doesn't he?
Yeah, and as I said, without in any way wishing to, you know, downplay his talent, I suppose it isn't threatening music. It can appeal to the broadest spectrum because it can kind of go to the shoegaze emo kind of generation, and you know they're just great songs, and you know the world loves a great song and a great voice, and the heartfelt sincerity with which he carries himself and delivers his music, particularly to a live audience, I think is just one of the most attractive things about him and what brings all of these people to him.
Your final song?
I don't Someone know if anyone's ever heard this one.
Yeah, that's a great tune.
Is this
the most successful of all the catalogue?
100%. And just for the record, you know, very few people can say this. US number one. Now, just think of the artists who have never had a US number one. Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan. Shania Twain has never had a US number
really?
One. And she's got an album in the top 10 highest selling albums of all time.
I don't think we've talked about Shania Twain, but we should, because she's playing...
We'll certainly put it on the list of things
for when you're off.
That we might. Yeah, when I'll check to see when my annual leave is. I know Shania's great.
Shania's brilliant.
But this actually was the first number one by a Scottish artist in the US since Sheena Easton in 1981. And also, when we're talking about the visuals and the social media presence, the video for this song will break your heart in half, and actually features his cousin, who is Peter Capaldi, the actor some people know him from Doctor Who and things like that. But he's his second cousin once removed, as far as I know. But he has the same last name. Obviously, Lewis himself comes from Scottish, Italian, and Irish heritage. Capaldi, of course, being the Italian half. But the video, for me, I suppose, really highlights how, when we're approaching the music business now, you have to be very conscious of that and how you get your music out there. And the music video is awesome. But it's just an amazing song. It's an amazing journey. And the heartfelt way with which he carries it, this has over 4 billion streams.
Wow.
You know.
Well, we want to let the listeners enjoy a little bit of Someone You Loved. For the moment, Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Alan, thanks a million for joining us to tell us about the making of Lewis Capaldi.
For now the day bleeds into nightfall. You're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down and then you pull the rug. I was scared and kinda used to being someone you love, but not.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.